Welcome to the CEO of My Special Needs Family podcast, hosted by me, Amy Mann, a podcast aimed at helping amazing, hardworking and dedicated parents of children with special needs become empowered to be their child's biggest and most successful advocate. As a mum of a child with special needs, a parent mentor and a successful advocate myself, this stuff is my passion and my life. Hey, I'm your host, Amy Mann, and this week in episode 13 of the CEO of My Special Needs Family podcast, I thought I'd just change up the content a little, just for this week. You know, I was actually thinking that some of my listeners might not know a huge amount about me and the life that I have with Freddie and the rest of my family, so I thought I might just go back a little bit and tell you about my story. So before I go into today's show content, I just wanted to share some really, really exciting news with you. So I've been running live workshops since early 2017, and that was to help parents who, like me and you, have kiddos with special needs and disabilities, and I help them to become empowered to become their child's biggest and most successful advocate. And one of my big ambitions is to build a huge community of empowered parents. But one of my challenges with this is reaching everyone, basically, when sometimes geography or work or childcare restrictions just get in the way. So this was one of my big motivating factors for starting up this particular podcast, and I'm just so loving chatting to you each week. And the other thing that I've been working on over the past 6 months in order to try and reach everyone and connect is recording one of my live workshops. And it's the first one that I ever started out with, which is Get Your Voice Heard. And I wanted to provide an online learning course for everyone. No matter where you are in the world, you can access it. And I'm just really, really excited to tell you that it's now live. So if that's something that you want to do, is to learn more skills and tools to help you advocate for your child, but you haven't been able to get along to one of my live workshops, then go along to my website, which is amymannmentoring.com/on-line-learning-courses and check it out. So I know that's a bit of a long URL, and I will look at perhaps sorting that out so it's a little bit easier to find. But either way, if you go to my website, amymannmentoring.com, and have a look at the search bar at the top, you'll find online courses there, and you can read more about it and some of the testimonials. But it took a whole team of people to make it happen. It's not just me. And one of the people is my friend and mentor, Clay Lowe, who spent hours and hours with me, coaching me and helping me to sort it out and recording and editing with me. And all of the fantastic parents and caregivers that have been to my live workshops and provided huge amounts of valuable feedback. Lynn Barton, who is an amazing lady who runs Entrust Care Partnership, which is a social enterprise local to me, who helps many, many families. She's just really believed in my ideas from the beginning, so that's amazing. And so I'm just really pleased to get this out into the world and to spread the work that I do. So thank you very much. Anyway, on with the main show content now. So the work that I do in the world now is just so, so very different to my history. And it's really developed due to having Freddie, who was born with severe special needs and disabilities. So in my past life, well, I lived in London, and to start with, I worked in a design studio looking after clients in the film industry and handling the relationships for their film release artwork. And I got to go to film premieres and dinners in fancy restaurants and meet some really cool people. And it was just such a fun job. And then I moved into more of a branding role within the cosmetics industry. And I just totally love my cosmetics, natural and cruelty-free products. So it was a really great path for me, combining all that kind of creativity and business and cosmetics. But anyway, after a few years of doing that, and you know, a few years later, I spent some time recruiting marketeers, but decided that I really just needed a complete change. And we'd made the decision to move away from London and return more to our kind of family area, and we started a family of our own. But as with all of us, I'm sure this will resonate with you, the story, my story, didn't really continue in the way I'd envisioned, and the path I thought I was going to go down with a family has just been completely turned on its head. It's just completely different. So at my 20-week scan, we went along just thinking, oh, you know, they'll just measure the baby, give us a due date, ask if we want to know the sex, which we didn't. We wanted a surprise. But that's not really what happened for us. We went along and they did all the measurements, and then it went really, really quiet in the room, and we were left on our own for a while. And after a while, we went back to a different room to see one of the counsellors, basically. And they told us that whilst doing all of the measurements, they could see that our baby's brain had some enlarged ventricles, so some fluid sort of building up inside those ventricles, and it just didn't look right. I don't know if that's at that stage they could see anything more, but if they could, they didn't tell us. But that was really just such a shock and not what we were expecting. And it was also the beginning of just so many scans and meetings and tests. You know, we were having to go into the city to have a scan pretty much every other week, looking at all the different measurements, seeing what was going on. And pretty much every time we went, something worse was happening. So, you know, then the baby's brain wasn't sort of growing to the right level. The enlarged ventricles, they weren't going down. There were so many different things. And if you're kind of familiar with all the medical jargon, then it'll mean something. But if not, it basically means his brain wasn't developing correctly. But thin corpus callosum, reduced white matter, the cerebellum, that was too small. And all of these things, there was a hole in the heart. They thought that maybe there was problems with the liver or the kidneys. And every time it was just totally devastating. Every time. We were completely heartbroken. But we carried on and we kept going to the scans because basically none of the professionals could actually tell us what that meant. They couldn't give us any prognosis for this baby. And we so desperately didn't want to give up on having him. Although we didn't actually know it was a him until he was born. They did manage to keep that a secret from us. So we had no diagnosis and we really scared ourselves half to death by looking at Dr. Google, and that is literally never, ever, ever a good thing to do. We kept going back. We saw a neurologist, asked them loads of questions, had loads of lists of different diagnoses that it could possibly be, and everything was a no. We just don't know what's going to happen with your baby. What they did say was that because they didn't know and they couldn't tell how serious it was going to be, they might be able to go to panel and still to terminate the pregnancy up to 39 weeks, which was just so shocking to hear. And actually, Freddie was born totally spontaneously at 35 weeks. He was tiny and he was weak. And if I'd known more about childbirth, having had three now, I would have done many things differently. But we were naive. I was a naive mum, hadn't been through this before. There's no manual for it. There's no leaflet for it, particularly when there's no diagnosis. So we just kind of went ahead anyway. But all of the stress and the heartbreak that I went through during that pregnancy, you know, I didn't have any of that normal thing where, so here in the UK, we can sign up to a group of people where you get support. And I'm quite sure in many of the other countries where you're listening, you also have that too. But I just couldn't bear to go along because I knew all the other parents would be like, oh, I'm so excited. This is my baby. And, you know, I'm going to have such and such a birth and it's all going to be amazing. And I didn't even know if our baby was going to make it through to the end. I didn't know if he'd be alive when he was born. So I felt really isolated. I mean, so isolated. And we actually only told sort of our close immediate family because it was so complicated as well to have to try and explain and to explain that we didn't even know what was happening. And then just a couple of our very close friends. And, you know, Ollie and I now have been married for 12 and a bit years and together for about 19. So, you know, we'd been together quite a while, but it's just hard to manage these great big feelings and insecurities and making marriage work. But we've both been really, really dedicated to doing it. And, you know, we're still coming out the other side. Freddie's soon about to turn 8 and we're still going strong. That's not to say it hasn't had its tricky times. Because marriage is just really, really hard work. But more so when you have a disabled child. And we don't all make it through the other side. There are so many of you in my community who haven't made it through the other side. And the rate of separation between couples who have children with special educational needs and disabilities is far higher than that in neurotypical families. So, you know, if you feel that it's hard work, God, don't berate yourself. It is hard work. There was a study done in Australia, and it was actually based on families whose kids have autism. But I don't think this is autism specific. You know, Freddie doesn't have autism. He has this super rare genetic de novo condition, so occurring just in him, called Tuber 1A. There's so few people with it. He's less than one in a million who have it. And the case study really reflects us too. So whatever your diagnosis for your child or lack of, this is true. And And they really felt that by looking at all of the families, that the majority of the relationships would break down by the time the child reached age 8. So I've got my fingers crossed that we're just going to make it through. And there's so many reasons for that. But, you know, you're just not prepared as a human being, I don't think, to have this kind of continuous level of care. And for many of us, we still have to look after our older children as if they were much younger. And that's not an easy thing to do. You know, Freddie is affected in every single area of his life, really. We're very fortunate in lots of aspects of it, but you know, it is every area, and that means we have a professional in every area of his life, and we have therapy for pretty much every area of his life. We have to make decisions about what gets the focus and what doesn't. So he has severe speech difficulties and communication difficulties, including having developmental verbal dyspraxia or apraxia, depending on where you are in the world. And he has low muscle tone, he has bowel problems, he has a neurological eyesight condition, he did have hearing complications, but we actually have managed to come through that now, coordination difficulties, a severe learning disability, and it just affects his everyday life in every way possible. But he is one of the most incredible children, in that although we do have to manage with the challenge of some big behaviours from him at times, now that we understand more where that comes from, and it's actually more anxiety based than anything, we've learned to cope with that and to help him manage it. But he's just such a happy child. He will literally give anything a go. I mean, anything. He's amazing at shooting a basketball into the hoop. He wouldn't have the physical ability to run around and actually do a basketball game, but he can get it in 8 times out of 10. He's just so persistent. He is determined. He never gives up. He gives everything a go. And, you know, those things are not always there in every child. You know, my neurotypical kiddos, sometimes if it looks a bit hard, they just give up at the first hurdle. But that's just not what's ingrained in Freddie. He just always gives it a go. We have had hours and hours and hours of therapy. I mean, we've been doing it for years, absolutely years, and it's hard going. I can remember, you know, we had Bella when, well, he was about 17 and a half months old. So we'd only really been doing therapy with him for about 5 months, and I can remember being heavily, heavily pregnant with my second one in the lounge of the house that we currently live in, and just being on my hands and knees at sort of 8 months pregnant, trying to do physio with him to get him to learn to crawl. Everything has had to be taught to him. We've had to teach him hand over hand how to raise his knee to get into a crawl position, how to roll over, how to get into a standing position, how to walk, how to move, how to feed himself with a spoon. Everything that we take for granted, and that so many of my friends take for granted in their kids, who just get up and do, like my other two, it was all hard slog, hand over hand. And I just remember being on the floor doing his therapy, praying that really we would have him moving by the time the second one came, and just being in tears because I was in so much pain, thinking I haven't got long left with just him now. And anyway, just before she was born, he started to commando crawl. It was slow but steady, but that was a huge, huge achievement for him. And he's just gone from strength to strength, really. And he does go to a special educational needs school. And I remember quite clearly moving into our new home when he was quite young and going to the local school. You know, you have these visions, don't you, of what your life will be like. Even with all of these changes, we were still clinging on to, well, we'll walk to school and we'll take the dog with us, and you know, we could go to and visit the park on the way home, and it'll be so lovely, and the community that we'll be in. And basically that wasn't going to be it for us. We went to the school and spoke to the head, that is thankfully no longer there, and he just really crushed our dreams in one foul swoop and said that really if he couldn't access the curriculum at the level that it was at, then he shouldn't be going there. Now, you and I all know that schools have to provide a level of difference in their curriculum and make it achievable for people and for their pupils. But, you know, we live in basically a not very diverse area anymore, and there's not a lot of experience with disability and special educational needs, not at Freddie's level anyway. And they just weren't equipped. And his physio said, I really think, you know, you guys should come and look at this special educational needs school. he'd have to have public transport, not public, but private transport to get him there and back every day. But you should come and see it. And it was pretty brand new at the time. And we went, and although we felt completely gutted that another one of our dreams was crushed and we weren't going to take Freddie to our local school with his siblings, it is the most amazing school. And I don't know what we're going to do when he has to leave and go somewhere else, because all the children are just so happy there and the teachers are amazing and the facilities are fabulous. And we're so lucky, because I know that that's not everybody's experience. There isn't always an amazing special ed school nearby. There isn't always space. And there isn't always that kind of support. So I know that we are very, very lucky and fortunate to have been in that position where we have that support for him. So I don't know what we'll do, but I'm going to have to, in the next year or two, start looking at senior schools for him and wondering what he'll be doing then. So that'll be another challenge and another change. But it's going okay. It's going okay. And we just get over those hurdles. And I'm sure that sounds familiar to many of you. And I think it's that really having learned since having Freddie to have much more emotional resilience. You know, we all have had those things that have happened in our lives before we've had our kiddos where we've needed to bounce back and have some resilience, whether it's been the horrible boss or the friendship that broke down or the relationship that ended or the divorce of your parents or a loved one passing away, whatever it might be. But I just don't think there's anything that hits having a child with needs. And the amount of love that you feel for them, and the fact that you just suddenly realise you would literally move heaven and earth to get whatever they need. But it's not always easy. It can be such a challenge, and there are often lots and lots of things in our way. And sometimes that's our own mental health, but oftentimes it's what's available, what budgets are out there, what money you have or don't have, what support you have from family or don't have. There are so many different factors. And that's really one of the reasons, you know, I was getting to the point where I had eventually found support for Freddie, because although we knew from his 20-week scan that he was going to have difficulties, here in the UK, I don't know, we're just not so good at early intervention. And had I been a more experienced mum, had I maybe had another child before and known what I was looking for, I would have been able to get that ball rolling sooner. But we were literally just sent home from Skaboo, the special baby care unit, with nothing, just an appointment at the GP to measure his head every week, and that was it. There was no physio put in place, no nothing, even though we'd had, you know, a couple of MRIs, and you could see on there where his brain was affected. And any neurologist can tell you, you know, if there's a certain area of the brain that's affected. So for Freddie, the cerebellum is really responsible for movement and balance and some of your speech centers, but nothing was put in place. There were no referrals for us. And it wasn't until we moved house when he was about 9 months old that we had this amazing new health visitor. Because prior to that, I think that we just lived in a town, and it was so busy and there were so many parents for each and every health visitor that they just weren't on the ball. And although our one, when we moved, is mega busy, she just could really see Freddie. She saw him and she could see us as a family, and took us under her wing and told us all about all the things that we could get for him and started to put the referrals in place. And I just thank my lucky stars that we found her, because we could have been in a very, very different situation. So we got that on the ball, and you know, we were going full pelt doing that, but actually I wasn't taking care of myself. Ollie probably wasn't taking care of himself, and we weren't really kind of connecting so well, because everything was all about Freddie, and then obviously being pregnant again and another baby, and it was a real whirlwind. And I realized that there wasn't really a lot of help and assistance for me personally, not just from a mental health aspect, you know, because you can find that, but actually how to get what we need for him. Because as you go on, you think, oh, we've got this in place, but actually there's so much more. That the demands become ever increasing as your children age. And I bet you have found that too, as you've gone on. You've got over the first hurdle and then you've realised, oh wow, now we need this for my child, and now we need that. And now there's a new diagnosis or a new difficulty. You know, you think you're on that even keel, and then bam. I remember a few years ago getting a call from school saying, actually, we think we've just witnessed Freddie having a couple of absent seizures, and he's never had any epilepsy of any description. But I do know that we were told in the beginning, because of the malformations in his brain, that's quite common for people to have epileptic activity. But it was still such a huge shock. So then you have to get yourself back on your feet, don't you, and find out, right, who do we need to see? We need to go back to the neurologist. What do we need to do, and how do we handle it? And just sort of learning a whole new language again. And I know you'll feel the same, that you suddenly, you're not just who you always were and now a parent and a caregiver, but you're also absolutely their expert. You are their doctor, their nurse, their neurologist. You suddenly know all of this new language and all these new meanings and all this new technology to help your child that you just never ever thought you would need to know. And quite frankly, I never really wanted to know, because I just wanted a typical child and a typical life. But that's not it. And focusing on the positives and the achievements is actually just what gets you through. And when I look at Freddie and his smile and how happy he is for the majority of the time, it's made it all worth it. But not having that support and access to really having the skills to deal with the situation and the ever-growing demands of the appointments and the appointments with school and the EHCPs and your statements and all the rest of it, it's such a lot to take on. But I went through a lot of self-development and had coaching and what have you, and came out the other side with it much, much stronger. You know, I really was on the floor. I was absolutely rock bottom on the floor, going to the neurologist myself because I was so unwell. And I thought there was something seriously deadly wrong with me. But actually, it was all the stress and pressure that I was under. And so something had to change. And so many of the parents and caregivers that are in my community and that I speak to, whether that's face-to-face or online, they too have had their stress levels come out really in something physical. It happens so often that we do have to take care of ourselves. And all of the things that I had learned and the way that I had turned it around for myself and the tools and techniques that I used that were becoming so successful in me advocating for Freddie and getting what I needed for him and what he needed, I just wanted to start to share that with people, because I knew I wasn't the only one. I knew that I couldn't be the only one that had been struggling with this. No matter what age your child is, you know, there could be something that means you need a different skill set in order to do it. So that's really when I started writing the workshops and started blogging and sharing things about me and about Freddie and that path that we were on and how to really kind of come out the other side. And it's always going to be an ebb and flow of feeling on top of it and not on top of it. But it's having the resources to pick yourself back up. So that's really why I now do the work that I do in the world, to help empower other parents and caregivers who, like me, have kiddos with special needs and disabilities, because life is hard enough as it is, quite frankly. And I just want us all to have that empowered ability to get those things that we need without it being such a fight and a battle. Because I hear those words constantly. I hear them all the time, no matter where I am, that it's a fight and it's a battle. And it's such a negative, negative way to have to be. And I don't want it to be like that for us anymore. And I don't want it to be like that for our children. So that's really why I do the work that I do in the world. And I'm so grateful that you're listening to this podcast. And I hope that week on week you get some tips and ideas about what to do and how to cope and manage those sort of really stressful and difficult situations that we find ourselves in as parents, and that you join the community. And if you are geographically much further away from me, you know, I know I have listeners out there from the States and Brazil and Australia, and obviously we're not going to necessarily be able to connect in a live way, but if you want to be able to access that course with those tools and tips and techniques, then get yourself over to my website, Amy Mann Mentoring. Look along the search bar for online learning courses and you'll see it just there, the Get Your Voice Heard one, and that is just a great place to start. And my focus this year is to get more of my content online so that more of you can access it and that we can build our community and just be empowered and pull together and share our experiences and share our successes and, you know, celebrate those, but also be there to support each other when we have challenges too. So thank you so much for listening to today. There is obviously so much detail that I could share with you about Freddie and our lives, and I will periodically come back in and just do another episode on a bit more detail. Maybe, you know, in specific areas. If there's something that you'd like to know about from our end, then drop me a line at amymanmentoring@gmail.com. I always love to hear from everybody, so I'd love to hear from you about your thoughts, if that's resonated with you. If there's anything you'd like me to discuss, or, you know, a topic for the podcast, then let me know. Or any particular training that you think would be excellent to have, just drop me a line. It's so great to hear from you. Anyway, I'm going to sign off now. So thanks so much for listening today, and I will catch you next week. You have been listening to the CEO of My Special Needs Family podcast with your host, Amy Mann. I always love to hear from anyone in our community, so please send me an email to amymannmentoring@gmail.com or visit my website, amymannmentoring.com, or you can find me over on Facebook, Amy Mann Mentoring for Special Needs, on Twitter with the handle @AmyMannMentor, and sometimes you can find me on Instagram, velvet_bulldozer. You should also definitely, if you haven't already, join my Facebook group, which is the CEO of My Special Needs Family. And if you have any comments, questions, or would like to join me on a podcast, I'd love to hear from you. It would be so great if you wouldn't mind sharing this podcast with as many parents as you think would be interested to really help build our community. And also, if you could have time to leave a quick review to help others see it in the podcast listings. Until next time, take care.